blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sanam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that fruits this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. And willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
A couple weeks ago, I had this great experience in the shower, actually. And we were visiting friends, and so it was their shower. And I finished showering, and they had one of those scraper things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was so interesting because what this voice came in and said was, well, this isn't your shower, so you don't need to scrape it down.
Mm-hmm.
And the message was like, well, you're a traveler now, you know, you're a visitor, you don't have to do those things. And so I caught that. And then this message then, of course, when you catch conditioning, how it circles around, it gives you the opposite message. So then it circled around and said, you know, if you're a really good person, of course, you'll scrape it down like crazy. And so I just saw that. And it was an amazing thing because I'm not usually that detached. I'm not usually that much observer of the voices. It was like watching, you know, those things that come across the bottom of the television screen or something. So watching the messages come through. And then what was so clear was I was just standing there, I thought, here I am, the shower's wet, there's the scraper.
Yeah.
And that's all there was to it.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those moments when life is a lot clearer than it usually is.
Uh-huh. When we really don't have a conversation.
There's no conversation necessary, and what to do is obvious, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I watched it. You know, first, you know, the voice wanted to make it a matter of somehow defining, it was all an identity thing, you know. So the first voice was about, this is who you are now, you're the visitor,
uh-huh.
Somebody else needs to take care of you.
Uh-huh.
And then the second voice was about being a good person,
uh-huh.
A good person
right.
To do.
Right.
And then in the third situation, there was no voice.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, there's no one to do this. Just the thing to do.
There's just the thing to do.
Yeah.
So it was just a wonderful moment. And part of what happened, you know, the spiritual implications, what I saw was, I was on a kind of trip I don't usually take,
mm-hmm.
where I'm sort of on other people's agendas.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a condition that says I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what came up was, suppose I don't have to have any identity about anything. Suppose I'm not anybody on this trip.
Uh-huh.
How fun this trip could be.
Yeah.
And that's how it was.
Uh-huh.
It was almost like it was one of those little
uh-huh.
breakthrough moments that pointed to the possibility of other breakthrough moments.
Uh-huh. So in other words, that realization in the shower had you realize the broad application for the trip, but then in your the rest of your life.
Sure. Yeah. The fact without the conversation, the next thing to do is just right there.
Yeah. And that's very well stated that conditioning wants to pull us into a conversation to be somebody to do the thing.
Yeah.
Whether it's, well, I'm somebody who doesn't need to do the thing, or I'm somebody who's good, so I should do the thing, or whatever. But that entire thing, it's so easy to get caught in that, isn't it? Well, no, should I or should because of my this or my... But to realize actually the step out of it is, mm-hmm. I'm actually not someone. There is no I here.
Right.
And so you said in that, it's just clear. It's mm-hmm. obvious the thing to do.
Yeah. And I have to say it was a matter of grace because I didn't feel like at some point I said, oh, I need to step out of this.
Right.
I just wasn't it.
Yeah.
And that's a much happier place to be.
Yeah. Well, because even that could be another layer, couldn't it? I need to step out of this. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to be someone who steps out of this.
I was looking at sort of the clarity of different parts of me this morning, and it was around the issue when we got back from our travels and went through all of the mail that had accumulated, and there was a nice big fat envelope from the Internal Revenue Service that claimed that for 2 years ago I actually owed them $11,000. And I didn't, but you know, so I mean, but what I've been watching is there's clearly the person who looked at it and said, oh, you're very mistaken. I see the mistake you made, and I can show you how you made that and how it's not so. And who just went about this morning writing them and telling them that and providing all the documentation and is very cool and calm and confident. But what I'm also watching is that the sensations in my body are of someone who is terrified. That they might say, no, actually we're right, and you owe us $11,000. So that they are definitely different people.
And that's interesting. There's a disconnect. The one person is just doing the thing. So it's very clear, got the evidence. You're cool, you said.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And then the other one is manifesting the sensations in the body and feels terrified.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and so I just, I mean, the person who's here now just finds that interesting. That someone could be having sensations that don't appear to go with the reality.
Because the reality, at least from one point of view, is this other, you know, it's very obvious, it's very clear. And so, but this other person is having this reaction to it that's manifesting as these sensations, and it seems just interesting to you as you look at that.
Yeah, and it particularly feels interesting and instructive because as someone who often has sensations going on in the body, it's really clear how those are just sensations going on in the body.
Yeah.
And how usually they're tied to a story,
right?
But how really they don't have anything to do with the story.
Yeah. So it's really useful in this situation because it sounds like in the other situation it's less easy to clearly see the disconnect there. But in this case, the sensations that are meaning this one thing are disconnected from the story, and so it's easy to see, the sensations don't necessarily mean the story.
Yeah, so I've really been doing a practice for several days now of just being with the sensations. I mean, we talk about that. But when I really am with the sensations, there's a kind of a lightness and a possibility, even when the sensations are unpleasant, because it's clear that they don't have to be pointing towards any reality particular.
Yes. And I don't know if this is your experience, but so often it seems like the thing we're afraid of is the sensations themselves. And so in that learning to just be with the sensations, there can be that lightness, as you say. Because, if the sensations are okay, then I'm free.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the same thing was true on this trip we were on that Penny was just talking about. There were several times where in going along with what the program was, there was the beginning of the story of I can't or I don't or I won't or I don't like or whatever. Mm-hmm. And again, I just practice, well, someone's here who has that experience.
Yeah.
And we're doing this thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so we're doing this thing with someone who's having that experience.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly like monastic practice,
right.
Like being on retreat. Like,
right.
You know, there's the, you know, Sherry talks about, you know, it's pouring rain and freezing cold, and it's time to take out the compost.
Yeah.
Two choices.
Take out the compost and like it, or
take out the compost and don't like it. And how much freedom there is in learning that. It really is disconnecting, isn't it? Disconnecting the meaning, the sensation, all of that from what I'm actually going to do, because the way conditioning controls us is, well, I have to feel a certain way, I have to be the right, you know, a certain person to, and then I can do this thing, or and then. But if I don't feel that way, I'm not going to do it, I don't want to do it, and to realize, well, that's completely untrue.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually occurred to me often while we were on this vacation, which was such a different thing than we usually do, where we really turned our lives over to people that we hadn't actually seen in years, and you know, just went through the program, and I actually thought, this is great training for the rest of my life.
Yeah, truly. I mean, it goes back to everything is our teacher. Everyone is our teacher. If the attitude of mind we're bringing to everything is being a student of awareness, then everything is our teacher.
Everything.
It doesn't have to be just the, you know, the guy or the whatever. Everything is our teacher if we're being the student.
Yeah, it was also true on this trip that in some ways I felt really far from practice because there was no formal practice going on. There was no opportunity to do the things that are part of my regular life. And yet, I wouldn't have had the experience that I did on that trip if I wasn't practicing every moment that I was on it.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Whether I called it that or not.
And again, I don't know if this is your experience, but it can be so helpful to have different mirrors like that.
Mm-hmm.
So in your day-to-day life, tons of practice, you know, in all different forms, formal practices, this, that. And to step outside of that for a while and to see, wow, that's really having an impact, doing all that practice. You're internally carrying that practice with you. And then kind of going from that and returning to the formalities of practice. Both of those are so useful, those transitions.
Right. Yeah, and just one more thing. It also was a great opportunity, and we talk about how it's helpful to see yourself in a place where you've been before and know that you're different.
Yeah.
You know, because if I, a few years, maybe to some degree, even months ago, had been in that kind of situation, I would not have responded and experienced it the way I did.
Yeah, exactly. To be able to see, again, mirror it in a different way,
right.
To see the depth of your practice, the changes that are happening, that aren't necessarily apparent in your, you know, when you're right there all the time, day to day.
Yeah, and it's also was apparent how, and again, this is something that isn't mirrored in my life very often, because my life is actually in many ways very solitary,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't include a great deal of daily interaction with people.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing this, especially with people who I really sort of, I would say, had kind of a marginal relationship with,
mm-hmm.
but to find how, experience how really, in a way, they were attracted to me and us, from little kids to older people,
mm-hmm.
which I actually really attribute to practice, but what they were attracted to and what they were comfortable with and
mm-hmm.
what they were saying they appreciated
mm-hmm.
was the practice in me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's what put them at ease, that's what made them interested, you know, that's what made the little kids want to take me to their room.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
You know, it's just
because you're there.
Exactly.
Yeah. People are attracted to presence, whether they'd be able to articulate that or not.
Yes, right.
Yeah. There's someone who's there, who's very likely listening, who's present, who's awake, who's,
Yeah, so nice to have a change in mirrors, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Presence, that would be good. next week I'm in the retreat, and my younger sister is in it also. And within me there is this part, there's something that is already, in quotes, taking care of her. And it's not going to be pretty if there wasn't some serious disidentification. And it started this morning, for which I'm very grateful.
The workshop around that started this morning.
Huh? Yes. It's clear that if I identify with that part of me, she might or might not know that I'm doing it, but I will not have a good week.
Yeah.
And it is thrilling to me that she is coming out here for this retreat. She's never been here. Mm-hmm. She did, there's nothing wrong with you back east. Mm-hmm. She's going to spend a couple of days with me. And I'm just I'm doing my usual just acknowledging thing, that thing, that little engine in me has started up, that is just truly, just really focused on just how everything I need to get done, everything, anyway, I need to be here. I guess it's all about me, isn't it?
Of course. because it's obviously not you. It's coming from conditioning, right? It's coming from ego. And of course, it's going to be all about, quote, you. It's going to be all about it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's, it is saying that if I am not doing that, it means I don't care. If I don't take care of her, I don't care for her. Mm-hmm. And that's completely not true.
So not. In fact, backwards.
Yeah.
What a great care and service to just let her have her experience.
Yeah. It's, she's younger than I am. And I don't remember, as a young person myself, having that feeling that I needed to take care of her when she was a little kid. So I don't think it's just a part of me that's just used to taking care of her.
Right.
It's a part of me that's just trying to rob me of what could be a very joyous experience.
Yeah. So in a sense, trying to take the retreat both from you and her.
Yeah. Yes, I have been in retreats with, I've never been in a retreat with her. Been in a one-day workshop, but with other people. I can't think of a specific, but I wouldn't tell you if I could. But, where that little engine was starting up and I was taking care of someone, and that's what ostensibly was happening. Mm-hmm. And it's miserable. Mm-hmm. And the word robbed comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Being robbed of this moment. Potentially for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And after that, if it takes over, how just completely bloody I will be beaten if I haven't done it for it, taught me into doing it, beat me up for doing it.
Well, and it's interesting what you said sort of towards the beginning of looking at disidentifying from it, because it seems like, at least in my experience, we don't have a whole lot of control over whether it comes up.
Yeah.
In a way, it's pretty likely, since it's so such a good way to get you, that it will keep on this track and probably heat up, as it gets closer and closer and closer. And so it seems like such a setup to attempt to stop that from happening.
Yeah. Yes. As you were talking, I just saw that my retreat would be about supporting my heart.
Yeah.
And whatever way.
Yeah.
Occurs to me, whatever works,
yeah,
to keep the attention, turn the attention to the present,
yeah,
to us, to this,
yeah,
now, heart,
yeah,
and not be in that conversation.
Yeah.
Everything I, if I have to wear an anvil around my neck, just as a constant reminder, this is what that thing is.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, we were just talking about this in some context, I can't think of what it was, but that we come on retreat just to see how we do what we do. And, you know, we have these different retreats and we call them different things, and we do slightly different exercises. And if your retreat were about staying present to that process to the best of your ability and disidentifying from it and really getting it that that's not you, my God.
That couldn't be better.
Exactly.
Be better.
Exactly.
So,
you know how life-changing that would be.
So, perhaps it's a gift.
Exactly. So do the two-week retreat. Start into the day. And just, you know, as you say that, I see the gift of recording and listening, because just recording what isn't, here's all the things it's going to do. I was just doing this the other day of, you know, feeling something start and then predicting, okay, I'll bet you anything today, there's going to be this. And so when it happened, it's like, ooh, that's not so believable, because I already knew that was going to happen. You know, so there it is, it's on the recording. And then, as you say, supporting the heart. You know, what reassurance is to, you know, who is it that's trying to take care of her? And what's that about? And what's, you know, what's
right.
going on in there?
Right. Yeah, is there something authentic? Or is it just something trying to grab the energy?
Right. I'm ready to toss that part.
Here, I wasn't expecting this to come up this morning, but I'm arranging for my brother to come to the monastery. He's never been here.
Okay.
And it's quite a breakthrough, actually, for that to happen. I was with him last year at Thanksgiving, and he told me why he had come. And it just, this thing, you know, I don't want to say what it is, but you know, he just didn't know about it, and he's kind of got past that. And it was kind of your, what you were saying, because you know, the karma with family, of course, goes really, really deep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my karmic relationship with him is completely different than what I just described. But it's basically the same kind of process. It's how am I in something that is not authentic, not me,
mm-hmm,
in relationship with him, which is kind of the dynamic.
Mm-hmm. How are you not you in relationship?
Yeah, how am I, really, it's really a sub-personality, basically.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, how am I a somebody,
uh-huh,
who's not being with him? It's funny because it's really kind of stark, partly because I don't see him very often, and it's always outside the village environment when,
mm-hmm,
I see him. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, I leave here where I don't feel very much pressure to be, you know, this particular aspect of personality or any other one.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, there I'm with him, and it's just this, you know, out of body kind of,
yeah,
thing, which is a root part.
You just kind of, does it just kind of happen automatically? You just become that person as you?
Well, yeah, it feels like it's kind of, there's like this empty shell there, kind of talking to him. And I'm back here looking at the empty shell, going, my goodness. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity, actually, also.
Mm-hmm.
The dynamic is it. I actually have a lot of guilt and relationship with him, my older brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not in any unusual way. It was really hard on him when he was a kid. He had a really hard time much more so than I did. Mm-hmm. I cruised through pretty well in our family situation, and also through, you know, schools and everything, and he really did. And mm-hmm. so I got this kind of nagging sort of mm-hmm. guilt about that, mm-hmm. Or a part of me does. And so what I do is I give all the power over to him in the relationship. Uh-huh. In some weird way, like to compensate for that or something. Mm-hmm. And to not be big, like it's somehow, if I'm who I am, it's threatening to him, mm-hmm. I imagine. Which I don't think is true at all, probably right. anymore. But anyway, so that's the kind of thing. And so what I'm looking forward to practicing is, without going to the other side of the rally, which is really important, to just be me. Mm-hmm. To see if I can just be me with him. And other family members too, because I do the same. I get over the power to everybody. That's just how I do it then. So anyway, that's what I'm looking for.
So the dynamic with him is, for a bunch of reasons, that's some guilt and that sort of thing, but then you really give over the power to him. It feels like sort of in a projection that it would be difficult for him if you were just kind of who you are. And so practicing, gosh, what would it be like to just be me mm-hmm. with him and other family members mm-hmm. and not have to go to that shell place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. I mean, I probably will. It's not like it's not all that difficult, really. It's just, it drains my energy.
It's a huge clue, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just disappears. I get sleepy, I get tired. Yeah. You know, I can't get my eyes open. You know, just,
So interesting. Well, and what's amazing, at least in my experience, of having, say, family members in a privileged environment is you won't be able to do that. You know, you could do it energetically in yourself, but boy, if you did do it energetically in yourself, you would see so much about it, because mm-hmm. you won't be interacting with them in the same way. And so there is just the opportunity to just be in the environment. And I mean, for you, being here is a very familiar environment. So to be supported by all the usual supports, meanwhile, he's here, it's just, talk about a different mirror, like we were mm-hmm. talking about earlier, it's such a, whoa. Really a chance to practice what you're talking about, which is just being you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would be helpful. It's actually mixed. He's not coming on retreat or anything like that. He's just coming for, we have some time together and some time here. We're still working all that out, actually. Uh-huh. And what he's comfortable with and stuff, and what mm-hmm. seems okay from a monastery point of view. But it will definitely be mixed. Mm-hmm. So there'll be privileged environment aspects, and then we'll probably be off property together, and then we'll be in. Mm-hmm. So that might be helpful.
Yeah, I can really be.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whose workshop is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if it was a workshop or not, but it will definitely be a workshop for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm excited about it, because that whole thing about just kind of becoming small, becoming this little empty, not non-person, it's just how I get everywhere with everything. And I really, really would like to get beyond that.
Yeah.
And so this is a real tangible, not real threatening mm-hmm. Kind of way to work on. So I'm glad to have a chance to kind of chip away at that.
Yeah, and it'll be so interesting to see, because so often I think we could say always, just being you is a service, mm-hmm. you know, to all of life. So it'll be interesting to see the karmic story, it sounds like, is that in some way will be hard for him or mm-hmm. whatever. So it'll be interesting to see when you hit that spot, which you will, you know, we use a tennis analogy, there will be times where you really hit it. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see what that, you know, you won't know for sure, but what you're projecting onto what that's like for him.
Yeah, well, and I've had lots of experience with that with him and with other family members, because it's been funny, I've been really seeing this before in kind of this odd way. It's just about impossible not to be me mm-hmm. sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think it's kind of there's a thread of authenticity that runs through all of our relationships. And our relationships have really changed over the years because of that.
Yeah.
So I think I have sort of proof beforehand mm-hmm. of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but even so, the current, you know, this just that habit is so deep to, you know, it doesn't. I mean, I know what you're saying is true from my experience, but still, it's just very, that's a deep habit.
Yeah, well, and as you say, with family members, it's mm-hmm. just that much deeper. Mm-hmm. You know, karma's whole deal is to put on a certain set of glasses and see things in a certain way. So mm-hmm. even though you can know that in your heart, mm-hmm. that of course being me is the thing that's going to be mm-hmm. a service to me and to everyone, it's all, that doesn't stop the karma from filtering and seeing, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it normally sees mm-hmm. as evidence.
Yeah. And then, of course, the part that's in the middle of that is, what is me?
Yeah.
Because there's it's, that's not always clear, mm-hmm. Especially when it's, there's something that's hard, mm-hmm. and attempting to skillfully deal with that, or, you know, with another person who, especially a person outside of the privileged environment, outside of practice, mm-hmm. You know, because there's aspects of me that come in that feel like me to try to deal with that, and then, mm-hmm. you know, there, then that doesn't work, and, mm-hmm. you know, all that, but that's just part of the puzzle, too.
Yeah, it is, and it's interesting. I mean, one of the clues is, it seems like, is what you pointed out earlier, is the energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there's that sleep and you gotta do it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes in that really hard stuff, when we just stay there, it can be, the energy remains, even though it's difficult or painful or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, if I'm me, the energy is, I mean, it increases in the hard stuff. But then, you know, there's the other side, too, where it increases in this, it's the opposite of the, where the energy disappears. Mm-hmm. It becomes, it's poison. You know, it's like anger, you might see, even though it doesn't take form anger, but anger is a really high energy state.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not center. You know, it's
yeah.
it's not a grounded energy,
yeah.
it's a frenetic sort of energy.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of thing that happens too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's all this, I don't know, it's kind of a big detective mystery sort of.
Yeah, and kind of back to what we were looking at with that last interaction, if we come at it with, from that point of view of it's just a big detective mystery, then it's going to be so much more pleasant
mm-hmm.
than putting standards on it
mm-hmm.
and, okay, now that I've seen this possibility, I have to be this way. And
mm-hmm. yeah,
yeah,
you're right. I definitely don't want to do that. No, that, I mean, that was kind of ruining my good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's also a potential for a really good time in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be interesting too.
Yeah. And I just, again, back to the recording, I just have this image of kind of doing a recording of, you know, here's what I really love. You know, I really love whatever and however you lay that out. And then listening to that periodically,
mm-hmm.
you know, during the time that you're with them. And then sort of I had this image of, you know, it doesn't really go that way, sort of a, shoot, okay. That's so important, you know, let's stand back up and, yeah, exactly, rallying the troops and let's try again.
Yeah, another image that just popped in my head, you're saying it's kind of like chess match,
yeah.
where
yeah.
I make a move and then, whoops.
Yeah.
And they make move, oh my gosh,
yeah.
that was not it. Okay, well, we can't undo that.
Yeah.
What can we do now?
Yeah. Well, and what's fun about that is, and if we're both on the same team, you know, kind of that image of, so two of us are trying to work something out, and then
mm-hmm.
we put the pillow out in front of us and realize we're together trying to work that
mm-hmm.
thing out. And so figuring, I mean, that's what he wants too. You know, of course, he wants to be himself. He wants you to be yourself. I mean, at base,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the most authentic level, of course that's what you both want. I don't know if he would consciously say that or not,
mm-hmm.
but so that's kind of a fun way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of giving permission for that, because I think you're right. I think that is what he wants in other family members too. And then just as in me, there is something that doesn't want that and is attempting to interfere with that. Same thing's going on over
yeah.
there. And
yeah.
so, you know, that's, it's just multi-layered and all
yeah.
these different
yeah.
dynamics kind of going on. And
yeah.
I think you're buying, that's interesting to see it in that way, but I think you're right, there's kind of like two sort of points of innocence
yes,
in the middle,
exactly.
you know, mine and his, and
yeah.
they're sort of seeking each other
yeah.
in a way that's, to connect in a way that's safe,
yeah.
and then all there's all this other stuff that has to be kind of navigated through and
yeah.
let go of in order for that to happen.
That's a great image, those two points of innocence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know for me, with family members, it can kind of be this, whoop, that was a landmine, back off,
mm-hmm.
you know, but sort of always knowing, oh, I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can relate to the landmine place
oh, sure.
completely. And so figuring that's not what they wanted, so we'll just try again in another moment.
Mm-hmm. And it really helps too to know without any doubt that I'm dealing with good people.
Exactly.
Good people are conditioning just like me.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, they're just, you know, some people it's harder to see that.
Yeah.
But not with this one, not with my brother and
yeah.
other people, you know,
yeah.
and it's just, there can't be any doubt about that.
Yeah.
And so that really helps with the willingness to kind of go through
sounds like, again, like other folks have pointed out, it has really broad application.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're really interested in this kind of seeing through that same dynamic of giving away your power and mm-hmm. being small so that other people don't.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because mm-hmm. it's really important to my well-being, my future, and my everything to take that part.
I'm going to go visit my family next week. It's interesting. I'm taking my family to go visit my family. We leave on Friday. And the piece I was found really helpful was said toward the end, just to remember they're really good people. Because, or the thing I went to was, I don't remember what exactly it says, but they're the Buddha or Jesus or whoever. You know that is.
Yeah.
Because, and that I am too.
Yeah.
And to really be really kind. Because I have, you know, as we all do, I remember this being explained probably on the very first retreat I ever went on. That, I don't know if this is how she said it, but essentially if we share DNA, the karmic connection is intense. And so to practice in other environments first. So yeah. Now we've all, everybody in this room is practicing.
A lot.
So we're probably okay.
Just starting to get ready.
Yeah. You know, maybe. But everything's predictable. You know, I know what's coming.
Yeah.
I know what's coming. I know everybody, you know, I know what's coming in me.
Yeah.
I don't see it sometimes.
Yeah.
But I could map it and just prepare myself.
It's suggesting. It's so funny, isn't it? First, this is going to move there, and then
yes.
She's going to make that move.
And historically, we both make this. My sister's husband and my husband will say, just get the fight over before you.
What are you doing on the phone?
Exactly.
Or you're holding the kids.
Exactly.
Just go to the fight.
Exactly. Or like, I remember the first time the kids were kind of, so it's my twin sister, we see each other like once a year, but we talk probably every day. So, and when we talk on the phone, we're pretty decided. I mean, she's got her own little practice, and I've got mine, and we talk in sort of a disidentified, really supportive way. We don't fight, you know, we more like complain about our husbands and kids and share our experience of what we're trying to be good, whatever, and to listen and look kind of, you know, so we really do. But we get it in person, and the karma just comes up for both of us. And I just think it's really going to be important that I keep in the forefront of my consciousness that we're sort of that thing. We're all doing the very best we can with what we've got.
Yeah.
And it's my job to stay really, really present.
Yeah.
And if I'm really present to me and listening, mm-hmm. I'm going to cue, okay, you know what I realize? I feel it coming.
Exactly.
Yeah, I need to like excuse myself and get in the bathroom and for me to get on my knees and say a prayer.
Please,
God. Keep my mouth shut. Can you just make me sick or something? or just paying, because I have practiced with that way. I see it coming.
Yeah.
And that they're adequate
yes.
to their thing.
Exactly.
You know,
that's such a good piece of it, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, and I remember when my mom went on a retreat with me, the first one, and she's really quiet. I think Claire's going to be a lot like her. So she's really quiet. So I could feel myself trying to read. Is she having a good time? Because I was new to practice. She probably came 2 years in or something. And after the retreat, I thought maybe it wasn't that enjoyable because she was so quiet. And you know, she's like, you know, when we're driving to the airport or whatever, just life was changed and, you know, blah, 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 and I'll never forget, and, you know, because it was a work retreat, or one of them went on, where she painted a fence, you know, changed her life.
Yeah.
But I wasn't doing it, because she's not like me, she doesn't talk in a group. So just to remember.
And even that's such a good reminder in those circumstances, isn't it?
I have no idea what's going on with anybody.
We can't. I mean, we project all the time, but we have no idea.
We have no idea. And I know that's what happens with my sister and I. Really, our old karma comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Something is said. Somebody takes it personally.
Mm-hmm.
And then a story is created that has nothing to do with anything, but it relieves the tension. The karmic tension that's there, just an energetic tension. Okay, let's just, But she's the type that I could go in and I could say, okay, let's go for a walk and just fight.
Yeah.
You know, and then you do it kind of, you're funny, it's kind of yeah. funny. Let's just think of something to argue about.
And just, no, let's just really, really get into it. Come on.
Yeah, isn't there something? And then, of course, you won't be able to find it. I think she'll be up for
it. But, you know, that's so fun because the next time it really, in quotes, comes up, you know, that could be there for you.
My kid is smarter than yours, I know it.
Oh,
so
that was fun. She would have misidentified. No, come on.
I'm feeling better. I'm liking you now.
I'm going to do
something. Well, and then the other thing I note is that as the children get older and more conditioned, I am so starting to, I mean, this is practice because in 20 days, Clara's going to be 13.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
Does that mean everyone in the room? 13.
So, but what I watch is the natural progression of she's got to think I'm an idiot in order to be able to, I mean, somewhat she's got to think, you know, it's just what they go through, don't they? Yeah. Mom just doesn't know, you know, and I am really not cool. Like, and she's starting to know that.
But she doesn't know. She knows
I'm sincere and she loves me and then I'm nice. it's not the thing. But I've really been noticing how the karma that's coming up in me, the self-hatred really that can come up as I see her begin to pull back and, you know, just become an identified person, which is just what people do. You know, we're all conditioned human beings, right? So that's just what she's doing. You know, she's forming her little person. And just to really know to keep practicing and let that form, because what happens in my head is ego takes it and says something about it, judges it, says it's wrong, but it's just what happens.
It's just what
happens.
So you think about it, you know, at that age, really starting to get it, wow, I need to live this life for me. And what an amazing transition that is.
You know, she can say it out loud just the other night. I mean, she said, you know, going into the summer, she said something like, I'm afraid to grow up. And I remember that feeling. I remember Peter Pan, man. Totally remember, you know, it's 12, 13, and it's a difficult and scared. And just fear is not really what Claire does. She says it in a very matter-of-fact way, but she noted that that's kind of the thing. She's in between sort of worlds. And for me, just to, what we were talking about on the facilitator calls this morning, you know, just to say, yes, and I'll be right here.
Oh, yeah. What an amazing practice, really, for you. To just, the challenge of staying in compassion and really seeing someone, and she has to do that.
Yeah.
She has
and
to
not join her. What my conditioned response wants to do is to join her. I'm afraid to. We got this and this and this, and you asked me what this meant the other day, and that is totally not okay. Glad you asked, but how come people are telling you those words? Exactly.
Well, that's it, isn't it? The courage to stay present to it.
Yeah, to stay present to me and her and to the relationship in a family, because I'm going to be the one that she's talking about 20 years from now in a group, having to go visit and have to. It's just the truth. It's true.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to think anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no judgment.
It's so much more relaxing.
So much more.
And trying to be the mom who she's not going to want to talk about enough. I mean, it's
right. That's so right.
No matter what you do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what.
In fact, Sherry says it all the time, what a great gift it would be for her to just have modeled that that you're not trying so hard to be someone different than you are, so that X, Y, and Z,
yes.
that you're just who you are, and you're completely there for her in whatever way that that's accessible to her right now. And in a lot of ways, it won't be, because she, as you say, she kind of has to do this arm's length thing. But, mm-hmm. you know, to just have that model.
Yeah, to pay really, to have that model, to be there.
Yes.
To pay really close attention, what was said before with the brother thing. I mean, I've got karma with this kid, because mm-hmm. we came into the world karmically connected. Mm-hmm. So to practice watching my karma arise, seeing the, I like that image of the shell, do its thing. Mm-hmm. Take a deep breath. Move back here,
yeah.
say yes, be
yeah.
present. Oh, the shell comes in, yeah. trying to make her like her, or whatever,
you know,
has going.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing about it that I was just seeing is in terms of kind of the two families visiting, what a great model that is for all of the kids to see the two of you just do your thing and bring that level of disidentification to it. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, the, all right, we're just gonna fight. We're just gonna do it. You know, not make it wrong or try to hide it. You know that, because of course kids can completely pick up on that stuff. No, we're just mad.
Oh yeah. No, we're. But she's you're a twin. She's exactly like me.
Uh-huh.
So when it in the past when it starts, the people say, oh, there they go, twin fight. You know, you guys take it outside. But I think I'm gonna tell her. We're gonna do it consciously as soon as we get there. And we're going to, you know, joke with the kids. We're just going to, all right, we're going to get it over with. Anyone that wants to watch. And some of them, you know, which some of them will. They probably all will, you know, gather around.
So we get a little debrief afterwards. How'd it go?
Yeah.
And then it's not scary to anybody. And we probably, I mean, it's not bad. I'm making it small. It's just energy. It's just energy.
It's just energy. It's just energy, and if we just completely don't take it personally,
mm-hmm.
it's just the thing that, you know, pretty soon we won't be able to do it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'll report back in a week.
Yeah.
So I've been looking at what was talked about earlier in about relationships, and so, you know, too, and what I realize is I'm really comfortable. I have all these different relationships that are, I have a one-on-one relationship with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really come to a head for me when I have this friend who wanted to do something with me for my birthday. I said, well, you know, it's not my birthday. It's mm-hmm. our birthday. So I can't just go do something. I'm a twin, so I have to. So then it's now this twin thing, and I said, but we're doing this thing, but would you like to join us?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, what I look at is this underlying discomfort that I have in the relationships that I have a one-on-one connection with the person, and then it becomes, you know, a threesome or a group.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it. So I have a really good friend who we do our recommended trainings together.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has been years. We go and we do these trainings, and it's like a retreat. There, it's so, it's such a deep experience, and we just do it with each other and ourselves, and we share and we practice, and of course there's a ton of people in the group, but we're just doing our thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are planning to go on a retreat later this summer, which is not a recommended thing, because there's not a recommended thing, but another thing, I said, you know, we have to do something. We have to keep on
mm-hmm.
going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing this retreat, which is actually a silent movement and meditation retreat.
Wow.
And I was telling my sister about it. And I said, well, that'd be so interesting, because we haven't done that together before, so we'll be doing our things, but we won't be talking. And I told my sister about it, and she said, well, I would like to go to that. I'm like, inside, wait, I can't wait till I listen. It's just like the birthday.
Yeah.
Because now it's like the equivalent that it's Tom's birthday and she's coming. And so I realized that would potentially be a really great place to practice, because it is going to be silent.
You got to take the pressure off.
Well, it does, but it doesn't feel like it does.
Yeah.
It's funny, I mean, it's silent, but the pressure is the same. Because there's this, it's gone on my whole adult life, but I didn't have such clear words of saying it. And if it's a group setting, then it's okay, because it's group. But if it's a small group, like
three or four, mm-hmm. and I have my mm-hmm. relationship with each person, mm-hmm. It's like I don't know how to be.
Mm-hmm. You don't know how to be.
Yeah, or it's like I become really self-conscious, mm-hmm. is what it is, I think, in that. Like there's some kind of giant, I mean, maybe there's some giant fear that I'll be judged, mm-hmm. but I can't quite make sense of it, but it can be paralyzing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet. Is it a sense that, so in the case of the birthday, so obviously you have a way you are with your sister.
Right.
That's very, very, your whole life.
Well, it's our whole life except for that now it's really good. Uh-huh. Because we used to do the fight thing too. Uh-huh. And now we don't do the fight thing anymore. And now it's a pretty, it's rare that we fight. And so we have a really great time together. Uh-huh. And it's like its own really, it's like it's its own intimate relationship. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so, and in a way, like, you know, I was there last week. I got sick when I went there, so I stayed there for a week. Mm-hmm. And it was, in a way, it was great because it was just the two of us. I mean, I would have liked to have been there and not been sick. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, if I were sick, I would have come home and gone to work. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny. It's like, you know, now there's my niece who's going to be 10 this year. And for me, she's like this addition to our world. Mm-hmm. But for her, she doesn't know that it's really our world that she's joined.
Uh-huh. Right, right. Uh-huh.
And so it's a bit the same. Like, my needs are met with the intimate connection that I have with each one of these people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how, is there some way that I'm not the same person when there's more people there, so then my needs aren't met, or I'm not comfortable being the same way so that they can't be. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I just know that it's all kind of coming to a head.
Yeah, because in the two pretty stark instances, these people are going to come together that you normally wouldn't put these things together.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And you said there can be a self-consciousness that happens in it.
Yes.
But it sounds like it doesn't necessarily, at least you're not aware of being a completely different person, say, with your sister than with this other person who wants to share your birthday with you.
Right. I'm not a completely different person. I'm not a completely different person with any of them. I'm myself with all of them. And what makes the relationship special is that I love each one of these people and they love me. But somehow putting together the people that I love and they love me, it's somehow that something could go seriously awry.
Well, it's quite similar, isn't it, to the family coming on retreat situation.
Because it's so similar.
It sounds like there's a possibility of blowing through a belief system that's causing a fair amount of suffering.
Absolutely. And what I see in that, and that's what made it so stark, was mm-hmm. that conversation, is that I think perhaps what there is a great vulnerability. Mm. Because that's what I project with bringing someone, you know, having your sibling come on retreat, it's so vulnerable because it's so near and dear to my heart. And then what if they don't like it?
Great point.
You know, and then what if they like it and then I'm identified with having to defend something, you know, all this stuff because it's so.
Yeah.
And so I think that maybe that is the place to look.
Yeah.
That it is, in fact, the discomfort is just in the vulnerability.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And, you know, as you say that, what occurs to me as I look to my own experience of situations like that is how important it is for me to meet the needs of that part of me, very likely a very little part, and not require the situation to meet those needs. So in other words, mm-hmm. so sister really important to you, monastery really important to you, you know, whatever it is, mm-hmm. that for me with myself to know, of course she's really important to me, it's really important to me, and that's okay, it is, I love it, it's all of that. And whatever reaction this person has to that, it's just whatever reaction this person has to that. It has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. And not kind of require the situation, but put that little person out there to need to be validated by whatever it is that other family member does. Do you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So So just to reflect back, the solution, the two things that I get out of this are that it's that it's quite vulnerable and that I could be care for that part of myself and not let the situation, think that the situation will care for that part. Because in a way, the reason I have each one of these relationships that's so important to me is because that part of me is cared for in the relationship. But in this group setting, I didn't want to care for that part of me because it's so uncomfortable showing that part of me to more than one of these people that I love and they all love me at the same time.
Yeah. Well, and even another piece of it, though, just as you were saying that, and you know, you'll just kind of have to look and see, but I wonder if for each of us, like say with your sister, especially where you're not fighting anymore, the more we're meeting the needs of that little part of us internally, mm-hmm. first mm-hmm. and foremost, the more we're available to be loved mm-hmm. in that whatever external relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, this is almost silly, but when Susan was talking, I had the image of she and her sister creating a list of things they fight about mm-hmm. and making copies and passing them out. And then just having people, the other people around them, to say, this one, fight about this one.
And then on the last day, whoa, we haven't gotten to like, there's three more. Yeah, I mean, the spirit of that, of just, that's applicable for all of us, is poking fun mm-hmm. at conditioning, trying to make it so serious and so personal and so mean something about us.
And it's less than what was just shared about sisters and one-on-one relationships. And so what I saw arise for me is, where I would feel vulnerable in that situation is, I would like those two people I love individually to love each other mm-hmm. without needing me out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think for me, that's where the vulnerability would come. Mm-hmm. That it would be somehow important to me that mm-hmm. we love each other, but there'd also be someone who would be afraid of being shut out somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So just help them see that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But you see for you that there's a part of you that would be afraid to be shut out.
Uh-huh. And yet wants them.
Wants them to be afraid, but you need to be part of the equation too.
Right. Yeah. Right. And someone who somehow, and usually in anticipation, or is looking for signals to show that that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, it points at how it would be really important to get to know her ahead of time and meet her needs. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, she could find that,
yeah.
even if that weren't happening.
That's right. And I could be her.
Yeah.
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 Thank you.
Just, it's been really helpful to hear all of the things that were talked about today around people and caretaking and relationships. Because we were having several people come to visit us in a week who actually pretty much all know each other and have been together on, we've all been together on a lot of different occasions, but always, almost always in a neutral territory
mm-hmm.
where we've all gone somewhere together. But to have them all come
mm-hmm.
here where we are the hosts and
your shower.
That's right, our shower, our beds and our plans and our territory and our mountains and our, it's like, there's part of me I know who's like, you know, we're already trying to set it up so that it will be perfect and they will all love it and everybody will have a good time. You know, rather than, I mean, at the same time, I am excited just for us all to be together, but I realize that there's a different somebody looking forward to this that is not usually there when we're planning something because of the greater investment.
Yeah. Well,
I'm told.
It's fun because what I saw when you added the mountains into it is actually none of it's mine.
No, that's right.
Could be such a fun workshop.
That's right.
You know? This is life's house and life's shower and life's kitchen and I'm just playing the role of the person who's making the menu or whatever, preparing the beds.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's really true.
I mean, in a way, it's like the monastery. Those of us who live here, we live here, but it's not ours. You know, we make the beds for people to come, we send the food for, we're the hosts, if you will, but it's not ours.
It's really a good way to think about it, because really nothing is ours, and yet in a way everything is ours.
It's kind of like either everything matters or nothing matters.
It's all there for us to care for and to enjoy and participate in and be part of. But we don't own anything. And certainly we don't own anyone else's experience. It's one of those just opportunities to show up. And like everyone was talking about today, see who's there and take care of her and enjoy the opportunity.
Just kind of be the person to hold the space for all these folks to arrive and have this retreat.
Have their experience and so the timing is great to have all the other reflections on that when that's on the horizon.
Thank you all.